this text for the last time. And I'd ask you to stand as we usually do, as we read the text. It's Romans 12, and we'll begin today at verse 16. Romans 12 and verse 16, and we'll trust that God will help us to make our way through this, all right? Verse 16, live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to what is honorable in the sight of all. Verse 18, if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. And finally, verse 21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Amen. Father, our hearts, our souls, our minds, we bless you today. Our lips praise you. Our hearts leap with joy for the very thought that we have been reconciled to the Most High God. And it's almost unfathomable that we are going to be with you forever in glory soon. And we stand amazed that you did it. It all started with you. You worked out the plan of salvation. You worked out all the details. And then you put it into motion, Father. And Lord Jesus, we thank you. The Father sent the Son. And Lord Jesus, you were willing to come to live the perfect life we couldn't live, to die that substitutionary death that we couldn't die, and then to conquer death in the grave and to be resurrected, Lord, and taken back to heaven and now rule from heaven and now give us great confidence as the Holy Spirit has come to make his home in these old lumps of clay. And so we just love you today that on a day like today, we can consider all that you have done on the Lord's day and say thank you. Meet us now in the scriptures. Help this old lump of clay in particular, Lord, to try to work my way through these verses and give me the mental and physical stamina to represent you today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you. So we'll finish up today with, by the grace of God, and see how much God will help us to unpack everything that we have here. Let's rehearse where we've been. We've seen that this amazing love must be genuine. This amazing love must abhor evil and cling to good, there in verse 9. In verse 10, we saw that this love must love believers with brotherly affection and then show honor. Verse 11, we saw that this love must serve with diligence and enthusiasm. Early part of verse 12, this love must rejoice with hope and be patient in tribulation. Then in the latter part of verse 12 and 13, this love must be constant in prayer and contribute to the saints' needs. And then we saw in verse 14, this love seeks to show hospitality and blesses those who persecute. And then finally, last week, we saw that this love rejoices with those who rejoice and weeps with those who weeps. What an amazing accumulation of attributes that show us how to love, you see? Now, God doesn't just tell us to love, but then he shows us what, how it's done. And so what an amazing list of attributes that show us how to love. And so today, we'll take a final look at the practical aspects of this amazing love, and we'll see where we go from here, all right? So as we look at Romans 12, verse 16, my big thought there is that we'll see how to live in harmony with believers, and then for the rest of the section, we'll call it living peaceably with unbelievers, you see? So the section, love enables us to live real life, you see, live in a real world. We recognize that all of our encounters are not going to be with the believers, and so does God. But love remains the same, whether you're with believers or not, whether you're in the darkness or the light. You see, wherever you are, love remains the same. And so let's see how God brings it to us where we can understand this whole concept. So what does it mean to live in harmony? That's the first thing we must think through. What does it mean to live in harmony? You see that statement there in verse 16? Live in harmony with one another. I put the word up there for you. It's autos phroneo. Phroneo means to think, you know. Autos, yourself, or to the same. And so it means to have the same concern for one another, to think the same thing, and some of your translations may even say to be of the same mind. Y'all have heard that before, right? We're to be of the same mind. And so you get that from this phrase, autos phroneo. This is amazing, because see, to have harmony, you must be able to think and reason together. Right? 1 Corinthians 2, the end of that chapter there says that we have been given the mind of Christ so that we can think and reason together. Early here in Romans 12 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be what? Transformed by the renewal of your what? Your mind. And so it's so critical when you're taking up this subject of harmony that we must be of the same mind. Our minds must be changed. Our minds must be transformed. And see, for that reason, only believers can live this way. The harmony that God is calling for will never happen in the world. And I want to show you something in a minute. I'm jumping ahead of myself a little bit. It'll never happen between you and unbelievers. Not harmony. Right? The verse does not tell us to live in harmony with unbelievers. It says what? Live what? Peaceably. There's a difference. Get it? Because harmony is reserved for those who are like-minded. You got it? Amen. I know you do. I know you do. It's so wonderful being a Christian. And so we should never take this for granted. Make the most of this harmony that we have. And nobody is naive enough to think that our church or any church is perfect. That's not the idea. But just think of how long we've been together. The things we've been through, the disagreements we've had. How could we stay together? Because we have this like-mindedness. You understand? This is marvelous. It's a marvelous thing. The harmony of like-minded believers is undeniable proof that we've been chained. Chained by the love of Christ. You didn't know me, but I knew me when I was an absolute fool. And you knew you when you were a fool too. And we proved that we were fools. But God met us and revealed that love that he had for us in his Son. And what did it do? It broke our hearts. And he gave us a what? A new heart. See, new thoughts, new emotions, new resolves, new commitments. You see, that's the heart. Gave us a new heart. And so it's undeniable proof, what? That we've been changed. We've been changed. Never take it for granted. This little flock survived. Think of what we've survived. Think of what we survived. Amen. But then he goes on as he talks about this amazing love, and he says, you look at look at the next sentence there in verse 16. It says, do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Okay? Do not be haughty. So do not, that phrase, do not be haughty, means do not think and act or represent yourself or react to people as if you are high-minded. We're not high-minded, we are what? Like-minded. Yeah. You see the difference? Don't act around people like you are the judge. There's something I want you to read. Can you turn with me to James 2? James is the one New Testament author that has more New Old Testament flavor to it, you see. James 2, listen at verses 1 through 4. My brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. For if a man wearing a gold ring and fine clothing comes into your assembly, and a poor man in shabby clothing also comes in, and if you pay attention to the one who wears the fine clothing and say, you sit here in a good place, while you say to the poor man, you stand over there or sit down at my feet. Look at verse 4. Have you not then made distinctions among yourselves and become judges? Isn't that interesting? Judges with evil thoughts. Judges. Judges with evil thoughts. And so we were just told earlier in Romans 12 to, consider the needs, contribute to the needs of the saints, right? And show hospitality. You see, hospitality is not just to your peers, but it's this openness. You remember what the Bible says? Because some people have entertained what? Angels unawares. And so, not high-minded, but what? Like-minded. And don't act as judgmental. You see, because what? This amazing love is not partial. It's not prejudiced based on outward appearance. And that's one of the wonderful things we can say here, is that we really don't care who, what, I don't care what kind of ethnic, I don't care who God sends here. I shouldn't, you know, I'm not shrugging off to try to be disingenuous, but that's not my call. Right, what is my call? To love whoever he sends. Is that our call? To love whoever he sends, which is what? Amazing love. We want what? Everybody to know this amazing love. But in particular, now he's talking to believers and teaching us how to live in harmony. Don't be judging people based on how they dress. Yeah? Or, you know, whatever outward appearance there may be. You remember we saw in verse 10. It said we're to love each other with this, what? This brotherly affection. And that's the only place in the Bible you find that the Bible tells us to compete. Outdo one another in what? Showing honor. Show everyone that they're valuable. Everyone, you be the first to show someone how valuable they are. Not because they can pay you back, or not because of the kind of vehicle they drive, or you see. Outdo one another in showing everybody in the body of Christ that they have what? Value. You with me? All right, well, we'll keep moving. If you talk to me, we'll keep going, all right? Okay, so let me get back over here. We got one more sentence there, I believe, in Romans 12 that I need to cover. And you see it there? It says, never be wise in your own sight. Never be wise in your own sight. And that means do not think or act or react to people as if you got more wisdom and understanding than anyone else. Yeah, some of us have known people in the body of Christ like that, haven't we? Hopefully it hadn't been any of us. But that's not love. Love doesn't act that way. Listen to Philippians 3. I'm just going to read a few verses here. The paragraph beginning at verse 12. Got Philippians 3:12. Not that I have already obtained this, or am already perfect. You see? That's the deal. Nobody has arrived. Stop acting like you have. Stop acting like you got all the answers. Stop acting like you stop talking down to people. You see, that's what he's saying. People who live in harmony, people who are like-minded, don't do that. Now here's Paul, who received this great revelation, right? As he was raptured, and God gave him this great revelation, and here he is still saying, I haven't obtained perfection. God still what? Work and be patient with me, because God is still what? At work. And so he says, I have not obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize, for the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature look at that. Think this way. You see, it's the mind. That's where harmony works itself out. That's where it begins. It's in your mind. If you think like-minded, then we can be like-minded. But if you think high-minded, then you're going to always find yourself in a wrong place. You see? So think this way. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal it also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. All right. So that's the idea of living in harmony. And of course, you know, the probably the best illustration of the most corrupted church when it comes to harmony, or the most confused church when it comes to harmony, is the church at Corinth. You remember? So many things going on there that when Paul wrote to him, he said, I've heard of the divisions, you see, that among you. You remember, even when you get all the way over to chapter 11, and you got all this division going on around the Lord's Supper. You all remember that? People bringing their food and arguing about it. People arguing about making sure they got their own food and rushing to get to the table first and fighting each other over the table. And the Bible said they were getting drunk at the Lord's table. That's not harmony. That's not harmony. And so Paul said, I've heard about these divisions among you. You go on to chapter 12, and he has to, after talking about the gifts, he has to go on and talk to them about this attitude of, you know, the eye saying to the foot, or some other body part saying to the hand, what? I don't need you. That's not harmony. He said, that's division. And move on to chapter 14. He has to reprimand them because he said, you come to worship service and everybody's got their own hymn. You got to sing my hymn today, and everybody's got their own teaching. You got to teach this the way I want to talk today, and on and on and on. All of this selfish disharmony. He says to them, that's not like-minded thinking. The only person that's you're concerned about is who? It's you. You're right at the center. You can't worship with other people when you're at the center of everything. That's the reason when we come together, none of us are at the center. Right? Christ must be at the center. Yeah? We didn't come to worship anybody. I mean, thank God for that. We came to worship, but you know what I mean by that. No one person here in our congregation. We came to worship somebody, but he's the one that never changes. He's the one that warrants our worship, right? And so that's the reason we're like-minded. All praises be to God. Amen. And so the need to think and have the same mind. I'll say this and then we'll move on. I don't want to run out of time. But I mean, just think about it. Something like a song. Think about how each member in that group, whatever the size, has to be like-minded. How can you come up with harmony parts if people aren't going to think together? Yeah? That's the whole idea. You gotta be of the same mind. Now you notice, harmony parts doesn't mean, I mean, there are some songs where you sing unison, I'm not denying that. But when you sing in harmony, that doesn't mean everybody's singing the same thing. It just means that we're singing what? Together. We're singing the same what? Song. You got it. That's the whole idea of living in harmony. Amos 3:3 says, how can two work together, live together, unless they're moving in the same direction? That's what it is. We're moving in the same direction. Hallelujah. All right. Well, God bless you. We'll go on to the next point, and then we'll try to wrap up our time today. I just call this living peaceably with unbelievers. It could have been another heading, but I just, seems like where God settled me on this. So the remainder of this section is about life with unbelievers. Why? Because God knows we need instruction regarding how to live with unbelievers in this fallen and toxic and twisted evil world in which we live. Because every believer is going to experience trouble, Jesus promised, right? Those who would live righteous will. You're going to have tribulation, and so God's going to give us some instruction. So if you move on to verse 17, we get some instruction. We are instructed not to respond in any evil fashion to people who are perpetrating evil toward us. You see that? Verse 17, repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to what is honorable in the sight of all. So you notice, I think it was summed up in Luke 6, treat others as you would have them treat you. You know, that's a simple, 6:31, simple truth. Treat others the way you would have them treat you. Now I do want you to notice this. Notice that we must use our renewed minds and think when we respond to evil. You got verse 17? Look at it. Repay no one evil for evil, but look at the next phrase. Give what? Thought. You see it? Give thought to do what is honorable to God. Don't just blurt out something just because you're angry, just because someone has hurt your feelings, just because someone has, whatever evil they've done to you. God says, you don't come down to that level. Love doesn't respond that way. Love isn't looking for payback. Excuse me. Love isn't looking for payback. And what a tremendous relief that is for us. We're not trying to pay anybody back. So, but you got to exercise what? This new mind, this renewed mind. Believers are assured that we can have peace personally. We're assured that we can have peace with God, and we're assured that we can have peace with other believers, but we are not promised peace with unbelievers. Now, we certainly aren't promised harmony, but we aren't promised peace. Now, we are told here that we are given instructions to do what is right, to maintain peace with unbelievers, knowing that that peace is volatile. Right? It's volatile. Why? Because you're dealing with someone who has none of the great blessing in their life that you do. They're still ruled by the flesh. By the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, pride and possession, John says. These things are not from God, they're from the world. They're still ruled by all the things that are from the world. And so peace isn't promised with them. You see, verse 18, if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. And they are not like-minded. We are like-minded. They are not. So we're not promised. We're not promised harmony or peace. But then God goes on further, because you're going to be in these situations, and He says, "Never take revenge." And I had to think about that. Because God gives some reason. Never take revenge. And this is the way I worded it. We are never to take revenge because God is the perfect avenger. Oh, my, my, my. You see verse 19? Beloved, never avenge yourself, But leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Says the Lord. You know, don't get overly concerned about what people are going to get who have done nothing but wrong to you, God says. You know, there's this commercial where somebody's, I got this. That's what God says to us. I got this. I got this. And I thought about this. Now, I want you to listen to what I said. It's a little sentence I wrote for myself. Our vengeance is selfish. Our vengeance is shallow. Our vengeance is ineffective. Our vengeance is often inappropriate. Our vengeance is incomplete. Our vengeance is insufficient. Our vengeance is lacking in so many ways. But God's vengeance is perfect. Lacking in what?
Nothing.
You see it? That's it. Even when you try to repay, it's still coming up short. Let God do it. It'll be perfect. It'll be perfect. He promises. He promises it'll be perfect. So never take vengeance. Never let that stuff store up in your heart. Never let that bitterness build up. And you're just waiting for the opportunity. That's not love. That may be the very one. That may be the very one that God gives you the opportunity to take the gospel to. And you're there steaming, waiting for some kind of revenge. That's the reason the people were so shocked that Saul could be converted. Yeah. How could someone so evil? He's done so much wrong. And some of the people he'd done wrong to them personally, their family members. You know, had either been punished or jailed or some even killed at the hand of Paul. And yet he's the very one that God used to get all of these letters to you and me. Isn't that amazing? The very one that you're ready to just destroy their lives. And God plans to use them for his glory. Leave it to God. Yes? Amen. Leave it to God. Okay. Just a little bit more instruction then. Now, here's what he says. Since God is the one who's perfect and effective at taking vengeance, he says, now you do what you are most effective in. You get it? So believers should respond to enemies and opposers in more effective and godly ways of this amazing love. That's the way I worded it. You see? We respond in ways that we are effective, since God has told us that vengeance is not it. You remember what James says? The anger of man can never accomplish the righteousness of God.
Yes.
Right? We've all seen it. Before and after you were saved. Before you were saved, how many people did you cuss out? What was the result of it? You say, oh, I felt good for it, but what so? So you felt good for a minute, or whatever the thing might be. Even once you've been a Christian, you let your anger get the best of you, and you said things that you shouldn't have said. What was the result? Did you accomplish the righteousness of God? You see? That's his point. Let God handle it. Now, I'm not saying it's easy. Matter of fact, I'm saying it's impossible to do it on your own.
That's right.
But the Spirit of God will enable you to love people like this. You ain't anybody sit in here and pretend that loving your enemies it just comes natural for you. If you are, you're being disingenuous. That's why they call enemies.
right? Do good to those who... I've heard people laugh at Christians when it says the Bible says you, someone slaps you on the right cheek, turn the, or whatever, you know, turn the other one. And someone steals your coat, give them, you know, other things. But we're not saying that that's easy. We're saying it's impossible. But by the grace of God, we do what's impossible for man. Things impossible for man are what? Possible with God. That's why you and I can be confident that when we let our light shine. And I love that old song. It says, this little light. And that's all it is. That's all I got. That's all you got. But the little song says what? This little light of mine, I'm going what? Let it shine. That's all God asks us to do. It's like this bulb right here. This job is what? Shine. Now, if you turn off everything else and this one light is shining, it won't matter to you unless this room is dark. But if this room is dark, you'll be so thankful for this one light. Yeah? Let your light shine before people so that they can what? See your good works. Not know how well you can cuss and fuss and, you see, join in with everybody else. That's all they're trying to do, drag you down and then behind your back and say, I know you were nothing. I know you just like, you see. That's all they're trying to do. That's all they're doing. That's the devil's scheme. All right? So let's look at the things that he says we are most effective in, which we're getting close to wrapping this up. You got verse 20? To the contrary, you see? To the contrary, rather than taking vengeance, he says, to the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink, for by so doing you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So that's the whole idea. Doing what's good. That's what we are effective at. I didn't say we were perfect at it. I said that's what we're effective at. It's what we're being called to do. Not hate people, but do what is what? Good. Do what is right. I wanna put it so plainly. Do what is humane. You see? Do what's humane. That's the reason Jesus said, treat others the way you'd have them what? Treat you. That's humane. 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 That one phrase, there's been a lot of controversy about it, so I thought I might address it. This whole idea of heaping coals on their head, you see that in verse 20. Well, essentially what it means, it comes from an old Egyptian proverb. And what it means is the idea of coal being on your head means that you've changed your mind. You see? You cause your persecutor, your enemy, to change their mind because they realize that didn't work out the way I thought. Matter of fact, that flipped on me. That flipped on me. I wasn't planning for that to go that way at all. And so it means a change in thinking. It brings guilt and shame, and then overcome evil with good means that this amazing love always wins. Well, we've made our way through it, and so I just want to say to you as we bring this series to a close that the harmony of like-minded believers in one body with one spirit called with one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. The harmony of us teaching together, the harmony of us being reproved together, the harmony of us being corrected together, the harmony of us being trained in righteousness together, the harmony of us presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice together, the harmony of us being transformed by the renewal of our minds, the harmony of us loving God together, the harmony of us loving our neighbor together, the harmony of us using our gifts together, the harmony of us giving generously together, the harmony of us hating sin together, the harmony of us loving and praying for our enemies together, the harmony of us enjoying the mountains together, the harmony of us enjoying the valleys together, the harmony of us facing the storms of life, the harmony of us facing the medical crises, the financial crises, the family crises, the church crises, and every other crisis together, the harmony of us rejoicing together, the harmony of us weeping together is evidence that we've been changed. Amen. That's all I've been trying to say. We've been born again. It's evidence that we've been born again. It's evidence that we have these new minds. It's evidence that we have these new hearts that have been brought about by this amazing love of Christ. That's what I've been trying to say for all these weeks. We've been changed. Because you know what Jesus said. A simple, simple, simple way to live. By this will all people know that you're my disciples, that you follow me, that you're my students, if you have love one for another. That's how we made it. And did we love perfectly? Absolutely not. But love brought us through. Love brought us through. This amazing love is not vindictive in our attitude or actions, because God's vengeance is perfect while ours is not. This amazing love of Jesus Christ helps us to live peaceably with unbelievers when possible, and enables us to treat unbelievers right even when we are mistreated. So whether inside or outside the family of God, whether friend or foe, whether advocate or adversary, whether darkness or light, whether mountain or valley, whether rich or poor, whether sickness or health, male or female, slave or free, or any other condition, this amazing love of Jesus Christ always, always, always wins.
Yes.
That's what Paul said. I'm confident that we are what? More than conquerors. Why? Through him that loved us. For neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in creation will be able to separate us from what? The love of God which is in Christ Jesus. It always wins. It always wins. We're more than conquerors because he's loved us. And now he says to us, now go and love. People sitting around trying to figure out how we're going to wash someone else's feet. Just love people. Love people. I know it's an old crazy song. What the world needs now is what it is. Love, but that's true. But not this craziness that they're seeing on television at these mega churches and promising them everything in the world. They need to know what real love is. Real love is Christ. Not a new car. That old car gonna rust out or whatever. You can have all the coverage on it you want to. somebody going to scratch it, and you know, or whatever the case is going to be. And even if they don't scratch it, you're going to drive it for a while. It's going to be old, or that new house, or whatever the case may be. All of the stuff that unfortunately the church is offering today, when it won't supplant, it won't replace this amazing love. I'm just out of time. Paul said, love never what? It never fails. It'll be there in heaven when we get there. This amazing love. This amazing love. And my friend, if there's anyone here or listening by Zoom, I just invite you to come into this sphere of love. Come into this sphere where God loves you. Experience it in Christ. Christ is the very revelation of the love of God. For God so loved the world, what? That he sent his only Son. If you just come and experience this love, you'll never be the same. Father, thank you for these few minutes that we had together, and this journey that we've spent for these few weeks thinking about this amazing love of yours. And we do thank you that you've loved us, and that we can now love because you first loved us. And I confess, Lord, and we confess together, that we want to grow in this love. We want to be those who truly represent you in the way that honors you. And so help us to grow in this amazing love of Christ as things continue to collapse in this world, as things continue to erode, as the world's systems begin to cave in and implode and destroy. Help us to show that love is the way. Paul said, I show you a more excellent way. Help us to show people that there is a more excellent way, the way of your love. In Jesus' name, amen.